This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:04, time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies, call 618-372-7077. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. And by Kurtz 24-hour heavy and light duty towing and machine shop in Litchfield. From the Chili Dome, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Thank you very much, Tobin Otten. I don't know if you knew this, Terry, but people know him.
People know him.
That's right.
Are we the him we refer to is Tobin Otten?
That's right. He's top 10, baby.
There he is.
I am
top
a big
10
deal.
Tobin Otten.
How do they know he's...
That's right. People know him.
How'd you know he was here? You said the guys are there. How'd you know that?
I have ways, Uncle Ralph. No. I have ways.
Well, good morning.
Yes.
Okay, well.
Just despise her out.
We are at the Chili Dome here at the Irish Days festivities in Farmersville, and some folks are already straggling in here, getting their fires set up, ready to make up some chili.
It almost makes it sound like they were out till 3 o'clock this morning, and they're now just dragging themselves
in. I couldn't imagine
here.
That to be the case.
No, imagine that, yeah.
I just was going to say there's probably a few of them that like put some of the fire out from last night.
Of course, guys, it's about 20 degrees at least cooler than it was last year. We were pushing 100 degrees.
Yeah, it was pretty miserable last year. And, of course, last year it was the 25th anniversary for the Chili Cook-Off, and they had 50 entries, and this place was absolutely jam-packed last year. In fact, we had people spewing outside the Chili Dome participating in the Chili Cook-Off. But they'll probably have 25, 30 entries this year. And, of course, they've already had the race this morning coming up later today. This afternoon, nothing brings rain like an Irish Days parade. I'm telling you, boys, I'm telling you right now, nothing brings rain like an Irish Days parade.
Hope it happens.
Hey. And then, of course, the crowning of the Irish Days Queen.
And there'll be a little different feel to the Chili Cook-Off this year, as Jim Whelan himself will be participating. I don't know if he qualifies as a ringer.
Well, I think he and Dave Heaton both are ringers. But, you know, they've now regained their amateur status. they've come out of management, and now they're participating. And Heaty said he was being hounded. They were just badgering him right and left earlier today. So.
And these are NCAA rules, so as amateurs, they won't be able to collect the prize money if they win.
That's right. By the way, one quick note, Brooke Beeler has been participating in what used to be called the Futures Tournament. It's now called the Symetra Tayton Lyle Golf Event in Decatur. Brooke did not have a good opening day. She was 4 over 76 and tied for 104th place in that tournament. But things change quickly on the golf course, and, you know, day number two could be a heck of a lot better.
Yesterday at the U.S. Open, a 17-year-old amateur, Bo Hostler, had the lead at 2 under for
really?
A brief moment.
Wow.
And then he looked at the leaderboard and played his next four holes like 6 over.
Ah, yes. The reality kicked in.
Think about that, though. A 17-year-old leading the U.S. Open on Friday.
Well, the guy that's dealing with 17-year-olds and some of them that are even younger is Matt Milberg, the new Lincolnwood basketball coach. Matt's joined us this morning. Good morning, Matt.
Morning.
Hey. How was the Sangamon County Fair last night, buddy?
A lot easier than it was Thursday night, I'll tell you that. 21,000 people. So.
Wow. That WSMI advertising worked.
Yes, it did.
You know, from the Sangamon County Fair. So just keep spending those bucks there, folks, in Sangamon County. We appreciate that. And by the way, all the sponsors that went on with our Farmersville Irish Days coverage and, of course, Sports Saturday coverage, we appreciate what they do. So we're allowed to come out here and basically screw around for an hour or so and get paid for it. So
that's pretty good.
Pretty good. Matt Milberg's taking over a program where Lincolnwood had no seniors on the team last year. I think you got a senior this year.
You got one coming back now. It's summer.
Yeah, and a year where hopefully the experience garnered over the past year or two will pay dividends now.
Yeah, I have them guys. I've been playing against those guys for the past 5 years, you know, so I've known them since junior high and known them up to JV level and the varsity level. Now they're on my side, so that's something that's been unique and different situation. So
what have you learned about the kids after viewing them from afar for a number of years, now that you're actually with them on a daily basis? Have you learned stuff about them that maybe you didn't think you would?
Yeah, one thing is just the knowledge of the basketball that they hold, you know, as far as the rules and, you know, the effort they come into and play. You know, they're always there early. That's something you really can't teach, you know. And at Lincolnwood, you know, that's one of the best things going for us is Lincolnwood basketball, and that's one thing that they've done and came in and adjusted to. So,
Matt, you made a nice mention in the article written by Kyle Hirschman in the paper. Kay Hirsch was quoted you as saying you want it to be an event again, like it used to be.
Yeah, back in the, you know, middle 90s when they were going, you know, back-to-back-to-back regional championships, you know, I was one of the face-painted guys in the stands, you know, and, you know, rooting for the likes of, you know, Rosenthal and Krager and Justin Milberg and all those guys, Dean Stotler. And, yeah. And you know, that was one of my best childhood memories, and I'd like to bring that back, you know, for little kids around here now that are either my cousins or, you know, friends of my friends. So,
Matt, it's not been that long since you've played basketball. Has the game changed in just
in
a
10 years?
Well, I mean, we're seeing some different trends in basketball now. Has it filtered down to the high school level?
It seems like it's a little bit more faster than it was back then. You know, when we played, it seemed like you go to a half court set and you run some offense for a while. You know, I think they like to run, and I think the fans like to see them run a little bit. And, you know, with this team we got this year with, you know, not a 6'8 post player, and which I don't know,
well,
last time
put,
one's been there.
If you put one kid on top of another, yeah, you might get 6'8". So,
you know, we can run up and down the floor. You know, we have kids that can handle the basketball and can shoot, you know, and, you know, you'll see that a little bit. But I'm going to pull the reins back a little bit from when they're used to, I think, so they'll adjust.
And Lincolnwood historically has been a program that shoots the three ball a lot. Is that going to be the case this year?
Not as much as in the past, I'll tell you that. We've been adjusting. We're in Riverton right now playing Tuesdays and Thursdays up there in that league, and they're learning quick that the shot that they think is open is not the best shot. And I had Jake Pope the other day, actually. I thought he had a good shot, and he pump fake, took two dribbles, and ended up shooting about a, you know, 10-footer and made it. And he took a good shot and made it into a great shot. And that's what I'm trying to do, and I think they're starting to realize that, and we're buying in.
Matt, you mentioned earlier before we went on the air, you talked with Kyle Weber at the Riverton coach, who's a terrific young man and has a terrific program there.
Yep.
Being from T-Town, of course, you know they're going to play defense, and that's something that you're going to reemphasize here for this team this year.
Absolutely. We're you know, going to play a hard man-to-man, and looks like we're Lincolnwood basketball used to be in the past, you know, 20 years, and adjust and put ball pressure on and come out, and it's going to be something that's going to be different for them. They're still adjusting and getting used to the situations I want, and we got some different kids playing different positions that they haven't played before. Derek Sale, post player, I told him I wanted to picking up the ball a little bit higher. He goes, Coach, I never had before. I said, you better get used to it.
So, well, welcome to being a sophomore now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course, you get into the summertime, there's so many different sports that these kids can play now. You got football practice, you got baseball, summer leagues, of course, basketball, summer leagues. How many games will you get in throughout this summer?
We're going to be around just around 15 probably. We've been playing in Riverton, like I said, Tuesdays and Thursdays, you know, getting two games in, some nights only one game. And then we'll be heading to IC in Jacksonville, which I went when I was coaching at Pawnee. That great facilities there. You know, they have probably 10 courts in the main facility, all air conditioned. And if you get lucky, you get the chance to play in the bowl. So the kids get a chance to play in the bowl down there, and they, you know, live that up. And it's part of our, really, your route to state. So I tell them, you know, you get to the bowl and you get a chance to play in that, and you want to come back, you know, and get a taste of it. So
I guess they've actually changed the rule to where now you can coach.
Oh, yeah.
In the summer. That used to not be the case, to where you'd have to actually, well, you could still coach.
Right.
You'd have to sit in the stands and be discreet about
right,
it.
Right, yeah. No, it's just like wintertime, you know. I'm up there coaching, and especially now with, you know, my first year here, and, you know, I want them to set the tone early, and I'm going to try to coach summer just like I would wintertime, so they're not going to be in shock or anything.
Matt, any pressure on you?
Any pressure?
Coaching in hometown? Seriously. I mean, you want to do well, but beyond wanting to do well because it's your alma mater, is there any additional pressure?
Yeah, it comes up a lot, you know, and that's something that, you know, people see me. You know, we were 24-4 my senior year. We had a lot of success, and people see maybe it's that success, and they want that same thing, you know, whenever they see, you know, the new team, you know, the new era. And, you know, there is a little pressure, but it's something that, you know, the kids – if we play our game and if we play hard and we do the right things, then there's not going to be any pressure.
How careful do you have to be talking about playing in a summer league and 15 games and stuff? How careful do you have to be in the summertime so that you don't suffer burnouts with some of the kids that by the time that basketball season gets right. for real, they've had too much?
That's a great question, Uncle Ralph. We had little kids camp early in May, right whenever I got hired, and had you know a nice little turnout there for being late notice and being a late hire, and had them kids actually help coach the you know to be in a different aspect of the game, and that gives them a little break. And then right now we're at the halfway point in the summertime, so I gave them you know Wednesday, Thursday off, and they've had a couple days off to adjust, and. You know, we're going to shut them down in July. There's no reason to, you know, try to push and overdo it. And we might open up the gym a couple times just to have shooting and no coaching aspect, you know, as far as that.
And that's the great thing about basketball. You can work on the game by yourself.
Right, right.
Other sports, you can't do that.
And, you know, you drive by the parks up here in Farmersville and Raymond. You see them out there shooting and playing. And Farmersville Gym, they play, you know. And that's all you can hope for is that they're doing that on their own. And, you know, you just don't want to burn them out. You got your contact day, so.
All right, Matt Milberg, the new Lincolnwood head coach, and the season's going to be here before you know it.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm excited.
I'm always ready for basketball. Date's already circled on my calendar. Tim knows it because he sees it every year.
He circles it the last day of last year. He's ready.
We're broadcasting from Irish Days in Farmersville. We're in the Chili Dome. It's starting to fill up here because the Chili Cook-Off Contest starts officially at 10 o'clock this morning. Plus, of course, there's rides and concessions and the Queen's Contest, the big parade this afternoon at Irish Days. So come on by and say hello and enjoy your friends and your family. Heck, we're all related up here.
And there's some sort of adult beverage tent as well.
Yes, yes. It's a conversion tent. Yeah. It converts from the Chili Dome to a beverage tent. It's only in America can you see this sort of stuff.
That's right.
You know, that's what makes America great. We're broadcasting from Irish Days at the Chili Dome. Back with more on Sports Saturday right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Law Officer at Security National Bank. Farmers, it's time to get your spring finances in order, and we're ready to help you at Security National Bank, a small-town bank where we know your name with an established reputation in the area since 1932. We can help with all your ag lending needs. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing and machine shop now has a heavy-duty tow truck and can tow your semis. They have a crew cab rollback to transport your car and your family, and they can pick up your motorcycle. There is nothing they can't tow. When you need a tow, remember Kurt's 24-hour towing and machine shop in Litchfield. 324-2400. That's 324-2400.
And at 9:17, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Partly cloudy skies for today. There's a slight chance for some afternoon showers. Expect the highs in the low 90s. Becoming cloudy by tonight, there's a 50-50 chance for some rain. We'll have lows of around 70. And then for tomorrow, cloudy skies, 50-50 chance for some showers. Expect the highs of around 85 degrees on Sunday. Right now at 9:17, we have a temperature reading of 81 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech, or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
Farming doesn't follow an 8 to 5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
And at 9:19, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
And we're back at the Irish Day celebration in Farmersville, broadcasting from the Chili Dome. We named it the Chili Dome a few years ago because There's no better name for it at this hour of the morning.
Not we. You named it. Take
well,
credit.
I named it. Okay. Yeah. I just, you know, it was one of my wilder moments.
You can copyright that.
I need to. Yeah. No, they probably need to put me in a padded room for that, Ralph. But yeah. We're broadcasting Sports Saturday from the Irish Day celebration. We want you to come by. They've got a big volleyball tournament. Matt Milberg, who we were just talking to, is going to run the volleyball tournament over here. I don't know. Travis, have you ever played in this volleyball tournament before?
I have not.
Brutally competitive. You know, if you're afraid of blood, don't go near it. So Travis Matthews, who's the coach of the FC South Central club soccer team, which has their practices at my park in Raymond, is going to be running a youth soccer camp coming up beginning next Wednesday, right, Trav?
That's correct. It goes Wednesday through Friday.
And you've got two age groups, something 5:30 to 6:30 for the younger kids, and then 6:30 to 8 for the older kids?
That's correct. From 5:30 to 6:30, we go with the 8, 9, and 10-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And then from 6:30 to 8, we have the 11, 12, and the 13-year-olds. And it's completely free of charge.
No cost whatsoever.
Nope, not at all.
Just because you and your FC South Central ball club has really done very well for the past two seasons, and I know every once in a while I'll run into somebody and they'll say, you know, we didn't realize you guys had that kind of soccer in your neck of the woods. And I'm going, well, you know, it's an all-star team, basically. It's an all-star concept like everybody else. And I say, yeah, we've got some pretty good soccer athletes.
No, absolutely. You know, one of the kind of the biggest things that we were hoping to do, and we've had some success at so far, is place some kids into college programs.
Yeah.
And maybe they weren't getting that opportunity before because, like you said, there maybe is a little bit of bias against kids from smaller towns. Yeah. That maybe they can't compete against the bigger cities, and I think we've proven that our kids can.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So.
And one thing they bring to the table probably is just the hard-nosed, in-your-face kind of style of soccer, which is kind of how they play basketball and baseball and everything else.
No, that's their work ethic is off the charts. It really is. I still, and it happened again this year, but I run into coaches after games that always just compliment us on our work rate all the time. They always ask me, they said, well, how do you get kids to work that hard? And I don't have to attempt to make them work that hard. They do. It's just kind of ingrained in their DNA.
I'd imagine when you're on a club team like you have, the practices have to be so intense because there's so much talent out there.
And that's one of the things I tell the parents. It's one of the advantages of the club scene is that, you know, we had 15 kids on our top team, and 1 through 15, they're all the best players on their own team. And so you're not practicing against, you know, the varsity isn't practicing against the JV. The varsity is practicing against the varsity.
Right.
So.
And I guess in a way you have to get kids to maybe check their egos at the door, because if you're used to being the top dog on your team, all of a sudden maybe now you're sixth or seventh best.
Yeah, there's, you know, and it's also maybe that kid who was starting it forward and scoring all the goals now is maybe playing in the back because that's where he fits on this team. And so there's definitely conversations at the beginning of the year with kids about where they fit in because it is different than their high school team.
And you know, and that's such a great life lesson that sometimes you need to adapt. You need to step into another role, maybe do something that you don't necessarily want to do to make the overall goal successful.
And you know, it's a good prep for those kids who want to go on and play in college, because if they aren't going to learn it,
yeah,
you know, they'll learn it in college if they don't learn it playing for us. Because, you know, you were the best player on your team, and now you're going to fill full a roster of kids who are the best players on their team. So,
yeah, I heard a young man say that when he entered college to play basketball, he said, first time out on the floor, I realized that everybody else there was as good or better than me. And this is one of life's lessons.
Yeah, it's one of those things where what got you here isn't going to keep moving you forward. You know,
yeah,
it's time to keep learning.
You know, and you said the guy that was a jock all of a sudden finds maybe he's fifth or sixth on the team, but it's a good lesson that he learns that, hey, I can function down here as well as up there.
Yep, absolutely.
Travis, you had an 18 and under team for FC South Central. Have you expanded beyond that?
Yeah, we started our first year with just a high school age team that was under 18, and so we grew a little faster even than we thought we would. We added two more teams. We added a U17 that was a lot of the freshmen and sophomores in the area, and then we added a U14, which was 7th and 8th graders, which was really, I'd never coached that level before, and I had an absolute blast with them.
So. Those guys are so teachable,
yeah.
And they're so lacking in soccer knowledge that they're like a sponge. They tend to absorb everything. And in order for soccer to remain a viable sport around here, you're going to have some skilled people. And that's a great age to get them involved in junior high so they can step right into the high school program.
Yeah, they're they're a blank slate. They don't necessarily even have any bad habits or anything developed yet. They're just, and we had some good athletes. And so we struggled at the very beginning of the year. It was the first time those kids had played together. I want to say we lost our first 7 games and we won our last 10. So they really they came around and they bought in, and it was a fun time.
And as a coach, Travis, you're looking for that one incident, that one, and it doesn't necessarily even happen during the game. It could be off the field when they buy in.
Yeah.
And then your eyes get wide and you're going, okay, it's happened now.
Yep.
And then good things do happen.
Yeah, we were playing in a tournament over in Decatur, and we were playing a team from Muhammad Seymour. And they had beaten us pretty soundly earlier in the year, and we played them down in our league down in O'Fallon. They beat us 4-0. And so we're in the middle of our season. We play them in a tournament in Decatur, and we were at halftime, we were tied 2-2. And that's kind of the moment where they're like, hey, now we're playing with this team. Like, we should, so, and we ended up winning that game. It was our first win of the year, and, all the kids were excited. So,
And the teams you play, and you talk about Muhammad Seymour, that's a big school. That's near Champaign. Who are some of the towns that you come across?
Sure. In our league play, we go down to O'Fallon, and we play teams from O'Fallon, Granite City, Edwardsville, St. Louis. Far and away, we are the small. I think if you added all of our towns together, we're still the smallest community that we play. So what I tell those kids and I tell our high school kids is, you can be confident in knowing that when you jump back into your high school season, you'll never play a team as good as about the average team that we play. In our club season. So,
and even in club situations in the summer, those teams that are from bigger towns, they don't like losing to the quote-unquote small dog.
No, not at all. And sometimes you run into, and I've heard other coaches tell me in the club side, you run into some kids in the bigger towns that maybe aren't as motivated because it's not your high school season. But what's great about us is that all of our kids have a chip on their shoulder going up against those bigger towns, and so I don't have to worry about motivating them even though it's not high school. They want to beat that team from Edwardsville, and they want to show that team from Springfield that we're better than they are. So,
if anybody wants to be part of this FC South Central club of yours, you have a website. Let's promote that a little bit and tell us a little bit about when the season runs and that sort of thing.
Sure. We run our season for all of our teams in the spring, and we have our tryouts in late October. Our tryouts happen right after the high school boys soccer season is over with, and then we'll do some things in the wintertime. We use the DiMuzio Center in Carlinville. Where we train once a week in the winter, and then once March hits, we're outside and we're full into our season. It's March, April, May, and we went a little bit into June this year.
And the indoor training, the DiMuzio Center with that indoor soccer, it speeds the game up about 10 times.
Yeah, the kids find that out. We try to do things, and kind of part of my coaching philosophy is we try to do things in really small areas and really fast so that when we get on the big field, everything slows down for you. Mm-hmm. And the DiMuzio Center, the surface that they have there is great for that.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Any hope of maybe getting a tournament at the park in Raymond?
I think next year we'd like to maybe start with just a small 4-team. Mm-hmm. Some clubs have things they just call like the FC South Central friendlies.
Sure.
And you bring in a couple good clubs and you play a couple games and we kind of get our feet wet tournament wise that way. But yeah, we definitely would like to bring in some teams into our area as opposed to having to travel.
Well, as a member of the park board, I encourage you.
Do you ever head out of the state to play in any tournaments?
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, our last tournament we just played in was in Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay.
So, we kind of think we like to get out and see different styles of play and different, you kind of see the same thing as if you keep going down to St. Louis area over and over and over again, and there's really good soccer down there. But we went to Evansville, Indiana, and we won a tournament there this year, and then we went to Madison, Wisconsin. We've gone to Indianapolis in the past. So we do get around in the Midwest.
Well, Travis, this was a long time coming. I'm glad you're the guy that's in charge of it, and continued success. It's FC South Central and the free clinic for the little kids coming up on Wednesday. And if anybody has any questions, you're in the book. I can give you a call.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. The website again?
It's www.eteams.com/ and then FC South Central, which is our. You can just type it into Google.
A Google search.
Yep.
If you just type in FC South Central, you'll find it.
Yep.
It'll go right to it. So Travis Matthews, the coach of FC South Central, the club soccer team, we're broadcasting from Irish Days. And Travis, we've been at Irish Days forever, man.
Yeah, Irish Day veteran at this point.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. What's one of the neat things about Irish Days when you think about about it from our younger days?
I always like seeing people that I haven't seen for a long time. Everybody, yeah. It's one of the events that people come home for.
Yeah.
So, and I, you know,
and that's probably the best thing about it.
Yeah, and I've done both. I lived in the Chicago area for a couple of years, and it was great coming home to see people. And now, on the other end of it, I live here in town or outside of town, and to see all you know, the people you haven't seen maybe but once a year come up. And and now I've got little ones too, and so they enjoy the carnival and the parade and all that. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Travis Matthews joining us, the coach of the FC South Central Club soccer team. We need to take another break. Sports Saturday rolls on from the Chili Dome at Farmersville Irish Days right after this.
June is National Dairy Month, so let's hear it for America's cows, especially the ones that work for farmer-owned Prairie Farms. Depending on her care and inherited ability, one cow will produce anywhere from 8,000 to 30,000 pounds of milk a year. That's almost 14,000 quarts. That's a lot of Prairie Farms butter, sour cream, cottage cheese, yogurt, and new fat-free half and half. And here's to all the other Prairie Farms workers who make sure the products we buy are top quality. Taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
Don't miss the annual Mount Olive Homecoming, Friday, June 15th through Sunday, June 17th. Coverage of the Mount Olive Homecoming is brought to you in part by Consolidated Communications, the Mercantile Center in Mount Olive, by the Mount Olive Monument Company, by Rademacher Chiropractic Clinic in Mount Olive, the Mount Olive Bowl, Becker & Son Funeral Home, and by Scheller Insurance Agency.
And at 9:30, let's head back out to Farmersville. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
He moved up to third. They threw it away there, and then he got thrown out trying to go home.
It wasn't a bad play, though. I mean, you know, the way they're scoring runs, he had to take a chance.
And we're back at Sports Saturday as we broadcast from the Irish Day celebration in Farmersville. We are beneath the Chili Dome. And we're going to be talking to the Chili Meisters here in just
That's
a
right.
moment. The guys that have turned back to the competition level. Jim
Ringers.
Whalen. Ringers, yeah. Jim Whalen, Dave Heaton, Heedy and Whalen. So we'll talk to those guys here in a few minutes. Joining us now is, did you have something?
Well, I was just saying, we were talking about the Cardinal game.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Last night.
Brutal.
For the second time this year, thrown out at the plate to end a ball game.
Yeah.
A Little League game broke out. That's what happens when you play the Royals. Green steal second. They throw it in the outfield. Then he goes to third. They throw it away there. And then he was actually safe at the plate because you got to tag him. But they called him out.
You really have to tag these guys?
Apparently.
Oh, okay. No.
But not necessarily because the ball can hit the chalk and they can call it foul. Right. So.
Well, we've seen that. Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Well.
The umpire didn't think he had to tag him.
That's true. Yeah. Minor details of the rules.
Pish posh.
Yeah.
You know. It's just the rule. Who needs a rule,
right? It's just
right?
the rule.
Josh Stone, the new athletic director at Lincolnwood High School, joining us. Josh, good morning.
Good morning.
Are you okay over there, buddy?
I'll get through it.
Oh, you get through it?
I'll get through it.
You've been enjoying the good old summertime, haven't you?
I have been. Yeah, I spent yesterday on Lake Shelbyville all day long in the sun. It's a good day, but early morning.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you joining us here. And now that you've basically taken over the athletic director's job, and you probably discovered, gee, there's a few more things into this than I realized.
There are a lot of things into it I didn't realize. And you know, I got to share an office with Vern for 5 years, so I had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Had no clue what he actually did every day. Not a clue. And so I got big shoes to fill with Vern.
And we're talking about Vern Pinkston, who just retired at the end of this year, and Josh has taken over for him. Josh, along with the AD duties, of course, you're still coaching.
I am still coaching. I still coach the high school baseball team. I'm no longer coaching junior high basketball, though. I let that go for the AD job, but I'm already looking forward to next year in baseball. Already thinking about it.
Well, your team this year was inconsistent at best, but when they were playing well, they really played well.
They did play well when they had their heads together and they believed they could do something. They really did a nice job doing it, but they're a young team. Only had two seniors. You know,
yeah.
Talking to Matt early, he's only got one senior this year. So we were young, but we'll be better next year for sure.
And of course, the remnants of the 2009 state tournament team now have graduated.
They've all graduated.
With Wags and Mikey gone, and now it's a clean slate, basically.
It's a very clean slate, and you know, I've talked to Lance almost on a daily basis, assistant coach Glick, and we're already looking forward to it. Can't wait, and we'll see what happens next year.
And when you've got a young baseball team especially, it's such a game of failure that sometimes, you know, it can become really mental and just get in your head. So I would imagine that
the growth that they got last year is really going to be unmeasurable.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things we tell the kids. There's not a whole lot of things you can do where you can fail 70% of the time and be considered really good.
Right. Yeah.
And like trying to get that in their head. You know, can you can hit 300, you're a good hitter.
Well, and when you take a look at other sports, you know, if you shoot 50% from the floor in basketball, you're doing terrific. If you hit 33% behind the arc, you're doing terrific.
Yes.
You know, and it's just such a... It's such a different type of competition,
right?
For baseball, where you can do virtually everything right and still end up losing the darn ball game.
Exactly. It's why I love it.
Yeah.
It's why I love it.
Will a lot of the kids on your roster be playing in summer leagues?
Unfortunately, no. We don't have a whole lot for them this year. Justin Milbrook has I think it's a 1300 team that they've got this summer. But fortunately, I've been looking for opportunities, and I would love these kids to play more summer ball, but you've got basketball going on, and they've got other summer stuff going on. It's hard to find them games.
And, Josh, and there's a good and a bad when you have a small school and you have kids competing in various sports, because they all learn something from each sport, but there's only 24 hours a day, 7 days in
exactly.
a week, and something usually ends up giving out, and that a lot of times is baseball around
right.
here.
And Lincolnwood basketball comes first almost always, and, that's, and I'm okay with that because the kids love basketball and they still love baseball.
Although the only state championship trophy is the baseball trophy.
That's true. That's true.
Of course, now as the athletic director, you'll be in charge of getting officials and all those things, and I suppose that's a job, even though school's out for the summer, the AD job kind of just rolls on.
It keeps rolling on, and you know, there's not a whole lot you can get done in the summer, but there's still stuff you can get organized. You can get some officials that need to be hired still from the next year, kind of one or two guys here or there, but it's a year-long job.
Josh, how far ahead do you have to work with as far as getting officials? Year, two, three, 4 years, whatever?
Everyone's different. I've talked to a couple different ADs, and everyone's different. Some people are 4 years ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now I'm only about 1.5 to 2.
Okay.
But there's football guys. I talked to the AD down at Pawnee. He's 7 years ahead in football.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, but, you know, it's...
Of course, when you're having trouble booking officials, and this is a subject we're going to talk about coming up on June 30th when we're at the Hillsborough Country Club for the Bud Reinecke Golf Tournament, and we're going to have Lou Lang, who's official, and he's been working with the IHSA on a project on trying to get young people involved in officiating, and that, you know, that it's becoming, quite frankly, a critical situation.
It is. It's hard to find officials that you want there, for one, and the young guys, you try to get the young guys hired, because, you know, I see a lot of young guys in the baseball. I said, I'd like to keep you bringing here, because it's nice to have a young guy here, keep you coming back.
Sure.
But, you know, a lot of them, I had two this year just told me they're going to Arizona or Florida to go to those umpiring schools down there, so some of the young ones are even still leaving.
Wow.
To go up, you know, college or trying to get into minor league baseball.
Sure.
Well, the nice thing now about Lincolnwood is, talking about young officials, is you got young coaches now, too.
We have a lot of young coaches, and it's really nice. You know, a lot of people said it's nice to have young guys there that you think will be there for a while, build programs and stay, and that's what we're hoping for.
And building the program, that's what, and really, when you look at schools that are successful year in and year out, and you don't have to go very far from Lincolnwood to look at Nokomis, and they're one of the prime examples.
Exactly.
When you are steady as she goes in the coaching ranks and programs, good things tend to happen.
Yeah, and you have Kimbrough down at Nokomis. I mean, you see fifth and sixth graders out in the playground doing their 1-2-2. You know, they live and breathe it, and they know it. By the time you get to high school, they know the ins and outs of it.
And Josh, just being able to be part of a small school is so different than a lot of other larger districts, because you know all the kids, you know a lot of the parents. It's a little more intimate situation.
Yes, and there's a lot of politics that go on.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I went to a huge high school. I graduated with 800 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I first got here, it's a small school, and I know everybody. Everybody knows me. They know my ins and outs. And I lived here in Farmersville for a year, and I said, you know what, I better get out of the district from where I live in, because it's such a small school. And, but you know, at the same time, it's nice. You know everybody. You know, it's – I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't go back to a big school. I love the small school, and hopefully we stay a small school for a while.
Well, and that's all part of the discussion now on possible consolidation, whether it's a good idea, a bad idea. Can they hang on? Are things going to improve? You know, that's for people smarter than I to worry about, obviously.
And
but,
me.
But as long as it's as long as the school's there, you're going to have the program. And Lincolnwood, like most all the other schools, kids play multiple sports. Do you agree that it's good for kids to play multiple sports?
I think it's good to play multiple sports because you learn different skill sets and everything you do. I mean, soccer, you get great footwork. Mm-hmm. Basketball, good hand-eye coordination, and all leads into baseball for me when they have all that going on. Football, you know, if you play football, the strength you build, the teamwork you build with, and I think it is nice. I'm, you know, going to a big high school, I didn't have that opportunity.
Yeah.
You played one sport, and that's all you did. But I think it's a great opportunity because you just get to be on different teams, doing different things, and learning different skills that you'll use later on.
Yeah.
I guess maybe the only downside to that is in the summer when the coach of each sport, they want their kids with them, so that can become a tricky balance situation.
Absolutely. You want your kids to be with you, but at the same time you understand they're doing another sport. You've got to take a back seat, and if the coach doesn't want them to do it, you've got to respect that and go with it.
Well, Josh, we appreciate everything that you do, and I know you've stepped into a situation being the AD, but you're going to pick it up real quick, and you're going to be just fine, and we look forward to, although we want to have some success this fall and winter, and we look forward to seeing you guys again in the spring and the Lancer baseball team. So
we'll look forward to seeing you out there.
All righty. Josh Stone, who is the athletic director at Lincolnwood High School and still the head baseball coach for the Lancers baseball team, joining us. And coming up here, we're going to try to slide these two guys in here, a couple of ringers.
The chili ringers.
The chili ringers. Jim, go ahead and have a seat. I tell you what, let's give Dave my headset here if you want to.
You can have mine.
Okay. Tell you what, just give Jim that one or give Dave that one. There you go. There's Mr. Jim Whalen.
How are we doing this morning, Terry?
We're doing just terrific, Jim. It's good to be back in the Chili Dome, my friend.
this is great. What a great day.
It's always good to be at the Chili Dome. Dave Heaton, hello, David.
Hello. You know, I would have bet even money he wasn't going to make it up them steps, but he did.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Hey, that's a lot of weight to put up there.
Well, after 25 years of running this chili cook-off, you two guys, now you're in competition, and you're in competition against each other.
Exactly. And I'll tell you what, I had to set up my own tent because I didn't want to be associated with the amateurs anymore.
Yeah.
And Raybo and Sean Webb have already tried to sabotage me several times.
Well, Dave, I see they've kicked you out of the tent, man.
Yes.
I mean, you know.
Well, I tried to make it look like it was my idea.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
Truth is, he can't get along with anybody, so he put him in a tent out there by himself.
I thought maybe he didn't take a shower this morning.
Well, you be the judge of that. I don't know.
Now, after running this thing for so long, have you picked up a few secrets that maybe you're going to put into use here this weekend?
One says no, the other says yeah.
Heaton's taking the fifth here. How about you, Jim?
Oh, I don't know. I've cooked in a few cook-offs, and I just throw some stuff together, and away we go.
And you know, that's usually basically the best way to have it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's all what the judges like.
Sure.
It all boils down to what the judges like, and that's who wins.
And if you had 20 people out here cooking today, every one of them will have a different chili recipe.
Oh, they will. Yeah. Every one of them
will be different.
And if you judge them today and judge them tomorrow, it would be different.
It's all subjective.
Yeah. Right. They've, I guess, just talking to Raybo there, I guess they got 30.
30 now?
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Well, last we heard, it was like 22 or 23.
Yeah,
and now
they're
going to
have 30. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
So it's going to be quite a good day. They ought to raise some money for the special ed again, and that's going to be good.
That's the aim.
The special education classes in the Panhandle School District is where all the other profits go to, and it has been that way from the get-go.
Yeah.
We'll probably give them close to $30,000.
Really?
Since inception, and we're happy we could help.
And in small communities like this, that is a great blessing because every dollar you can raise locally is needed very badly.
Absolutely.
You know, you talk about recipes and stuff. I did the Crime Stoppers golf tournament a week ago, and a guy came up and he said, "Boy, those pork chops are good. What do you put on them?" I said, "Well, have you done everything in life you want to do?" And he said, "Well, I don't know why." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what to put on them, but right after that, I'll have to shoot you because it's a secret."
Yeah, I forgot that you're a pretty good cook in your own right.
Uncle Ralph and his homemade grill, man, he goes anywhere.
I know. He's got a reputation.
And grill will travel. Yeah.
But I'll tell you what about Whalen's. There's going to be, three of you cooking or four?
four of us.
Four of them.
Okay.
And every one of them has a good recipe and won first place somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere along the line.
Yeah. I've never done that.
And you've never done that, Dave?
As high as I've ever got to third.
Really?
Yeah. So
maybe you ought to think of sabotage.
I have some Italian cousins we can call. You know,
I'll tell you what, we was over at the grocery store yesterday, and all the Whalens were in there, and each had a separate cart.
Oh, my God.
Didn't want each other to know. So I'll tell you what, I took my iPhone out and started taking pictures of their shopping carts.
Oh, it's starting to get deep. I don't think we have our boots are not on here, man. It's starting to get deep here today. Holy moly. We're broadcasting from the Chili Dome at Irish Days, and we're enjoying the celebration. Great weather.
This is going to be perfect.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
And if you bring on a little rain after the celebration's over tonight, we'll be tickled.
The farmers will be happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
last year, it was a little warm in this tent.
Yes, it was. There's a breeze blowing through tonight.
If the breeze keeps up, we'll be good.
Yeah. Jim, talk to us a little bit about Irish Days. To me, being a kid from Panhandle, this was really the start of summer for me.
Yeah. And it is. This weekend, it's about just right after all the graduations are over, the school's out, everybody's got all that kind of behind them, and summer's starting, and they're just looking for something to do, and I think that's one of the reasons there's always been a crowd here in the success, because it's everybody's ready to get into summer, you know.
Ready
to party a little bit.
Well, with the Sangamon County Fair going at the same time this year, we've still had good crowds.
Yeah.
Well, you've had good weather, and we're expecting a good crowd again today. And, of course, the parade set for this afternoon and the crowning of the queen tonight, plus all the other various activities, the volleyball tournament.
They've got a volleyball tournament going over here.
I'll tell you what,
if
you like to play volleyball blood, this is the place to be, because these guys don't back down.
Yeah.
They take this serious, man. Yeah.
Had Hillbilly Golf yesterday. Had 33 teams,
really?
34 teams. Something like that. I mean, they had a crowd here.
Had a crowd when I came in from the fun run this morning. That's always.
I think my sister Ruth Byers said they were close to 400 again.
Really?
So
wow,
that's great.
That's a terrific thing.
That's great.
Dave, how about your pit take on Irish Days here? Does it? It's just one of those things that we always do.
Yes, but if you'll notice, it does evolve a little bit. You know, like we've got the new pavilion where the concessionaires set up, and now we've got a big long tent for some of the others, and it just looks nicer and it's more organized. They've got some landscaping over there,
and the square always looks so terrific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're really dressing it up. Yeah. It really is. So, well, guys, we wish you both good luck in your battle of the chilies today. Now, and my only suggestion is, if you're ready to come to blows, have a beer first, and then go back, okay?
Okay.
Because I suspect things will probably calm down after that.
Well, yeah, you got that.
It probably will. Thank you guys for being here.
Oh, you're talking about it all the time on the radio, putting it out in front of everybody. That's just fantastic. That's a part of our success right there.
We certainly appreciate being part of it. Yeah. Jim Whalen, Dave Heaton, we need to take another break. Sports Saturday rolls on right after these messages.
Mark your calendars. The 27th annual Montgomery County Fair in Butler is coming fast. It kicks off Wednesday, June 20th with opening ceremonies and the Queen Pageant. Don't miss the rides, food, games, livestock shows, and all the fun at the Montgomery County Fair throughout the week. The MMA fights on Friday, ATV racing and demolition derby Saturday, and the truck and tractor pull Sunday. The 27th annual Montgomery County Fair at the County Fairgrounds in Butler, June 20th through 24th. Fun for everyone.
If you're a farmer or an agribusiness, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Loan Officer at Security National Bank. I specialize in ag lending, and Security National Bank's ag lending staff is experienced and ready to serve all your farming needs. We offer competitive rates. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:48, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Partly cloudy skies for today. There is a slight chance for some afternoon showers. Expect a high in the low 90s. Becoming cloudy for tonight, there is a 50-50 chance for some rain. We'll have lows around 70. And then for tomorrow, cloudy skies, 50-50 chance for some showers. Expect a high Sunday in the mid-80s. Right now at 9:48, we have a temperature reading of 82 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in 30 seconds.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And let's head back out to Farmersville once again. Here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Hey, we're back on Sports Saturday, coming to you from the Chili Dome in Farmersville, where the place is really starting to jump now. 30 teams of chili cookers doing battle here this morning and this afternoon. And, of course, Irish Days will continue throughout the day and the evening tonight. And we hope you'll stop by and say hi to all of our friends in Farmersville. It's a really... I really look forward to coming to the Chili Dome every year. This is such a great thing for us to be able to sit out here and shoot the bull with these guys, because they're full of it.
Yeah, yeah, to say the least.
They're full of something.
Yeah.
There's actually a little bit of a breeze
this
year, which is nice.
Yeah.
One thing that we might talk about, Tim, while we still have time, and if we go a few minutes over, I don't think anybody would mind this morning. Is that okay, guys?
Fine with me.
Okay. One thing that did come about this week, and as far as high school sports is concerned, and the Illinois High School Association, they made an announcement this week about some changes, and one of which affected the way they determine classifications. Now, of course, most of our schools around here will compete generally in a Class 1A, 2A. A few of the teams, though, will be competing in Class 3A this year, due to the change in classifications. But probably one of the most noteworthy things that changed is the fact that Alton Marquette High School, a member, former member of the South Central Conference, will not be 1A anymore, nor will they be 2A anymore. They will be a 3A school for baseball, basketball, and softball.
Yeah, that's a pretty big jump. They've been 2A in the postseason really the last, as long as I can remember, they've been 2A. And to jump up to 3A, that's a big jump. In the four-class system, that's the biggest gap, in my opinion, is from 2A to 3A. 1A to 2A, not that, you know, you can compete. 3A to 4A, not really. But 2A to 3A, that's small school to big school. And that's a big change for Marquette. And the timing really couldn't come at an any worse opportunity moment for them, because you figure they're moving out of the South Central with some bigger schools into the smaller conference of the Prairie State, to where they're going to play 1A schools every conference game, and then postseason time, here come the big boys.
It's going to be a tough situation for them. And the reason this came about was, and this does not include, this does not include football. Football is all on its own. They determine the 256 playoff teams and then just slice them up into pieces of one eighth at a time. So that's all determined at the end of the year. But right now what has happened is the IHSA has changed their percentages. When you had four classes, most everybody assumed it was 25% of the smallest schools 1A, next 25% 2A, so forth and so on. That was not the case. It was about 28% of the schools represented 1A. Well, now they've gone back to 25, 25, 25, and 25%, which skews the way some of the classifications have come out.
And maybe something that will interest folks in Litchfield and Hillsboro from girls basketball is, of course, 2 years ago, Litchfield lost in the Super to Bloomington Central Catholic. Of course, last year, Hillsboro lost in the sectional semifinals to Quincy Notre Dame. Both those squads now, 3A.
All 3A.
And big difference.
A big difference. And the IHSA, you know, catches a lot of grief. Let's face it, they do. They catch a lot of grief. But they do a lot of things well. And I think this is ultimately the goal they were aiming for. And I think once the dust settles, of course, I think you're going to have non-boundaried schools crying foul.
Yeah.
But there's really no foul to be had here. This is probably the fairest way to do it. They're going to stick with it. And, you know, I think the IHSA, who we have tentatively scheduled some folks from the IHSA to join us later in August on the Sports Saturday program. This is certainly one thing I want to touch on when we get them on the air.
And the IHSA, they're such an easy target, you know, guys.
Yes.
They're kind of like officials. They're right there. They're there for the picking. It's an easy shot to blame the IHSA for everything. But all the things that they do for high school athletics, they do what they feel is best for the whole. And when you do what's best for the whole, inevitably there's going to be a small segment of the schools that feel like they're getting the short end of the stick.
Sure.
You can't make everyone happy.
No, you
it's
can't.
It's impossible.
You can't make everyone happy. And they're dealing with, you know, a perceived inequity, and I think it is a true inequity, non-boundaried schools versus boundaried schools, public schools versus the private schools, basically is what you're talking about. And they've tried to even things up a little bit with the multiplier, and now things are starting to shake out.
Yes.
In previous years, if a school, a non-boundaried school, was not successful in the postseason, they got to play down. That's gone.
Right.
Now they're going to play in their own division. They will not get the opportunity to play down. Teams will be allowed to move up a division if they petition the IHSA, but they will not be able to come down only because they've not had success in the postseason.
In my opinion,
which I think is a good move.
Yes. My opinion has always been, and it'll never happen, but instead of going to the four-class system, I think the IHSA should have gone to a three-class system. You keep 1A the same, 2A the same as it always was, and then every non-boundary school is in the 3A class.
Well,
and that would never happen because the private schools would never allow it to happen. But I think that would be the best way to do it. Let these non-boundary schools compete against each other.
Sure.
And Terry, did I read correctly now, like this past year, like Hillsboro, everything would be, say, 2A, I mean, football?
No, not necessarily. Because some schools will have a 3A volleyball team, which I believe
Hillsboro-Carlinville, too, I think?
Hillsboro was
a 3A. For sure, yeah.
I mean, that's about the only one probably around here. But then again, the IHSA did leave a caveat open by saying they're going to try and make schools the same class in all sports for that particular season. So if the toppers are 2A in a sport, you know, in basketball and girls, for sure they will be in boys. The thing about volleyball, though, volleyball is different. It stands by itself. You have four classes, plus volleyball for guys in the fall is a three-class system.
Right.
So, you know, you're talking a situation where there's no comparable sport there, so the toppers are probably going to be 3A in volleyball.
And there's some schools where their boys' basketball will be 3A and their girls' basketball will be 2A, and I think that's one of the bugs that the IHSA will work out over time, because that'll get confusing come postseason time when you got 2A, 3A for the same school.
Well, let's look at the past few years since the four-class system came along. Nokomis was always 1A in boys, but due to the co-op with Lincolnwood, 2A in girls.
Right.
And that situation now has remedied itself. The co-op is not in existence anymore, simply because there weren't enough kids from Panhandle to participate here for a couple years. But if the co-op comes back, Nokomis will again be 1A in girls basketball and boys basketball. That's what this situation they're trying to remedy.
Okay, and I think I read yesterday in the Journal Register where Springfield High now will be 4A.
Yes. Yeah, some of the schools, quite frankly, Tim and I were looking at some of the movements yesterday as far as the classification boundaries, and some of them surprised us, to be honest with you. They're pretty big jumps. But, you know, this, and like Tim said, the IHSA is such an easy target. They're always criticized for how they put schools together in regional tournament pairings and such like this. But the bottom line is somebody's always going to be on the outside of that region. Somebody's going to have to drive. That's just the nature of the beast. And they try to mix it up as best as possible.
They could get every school in the state a golden egg, and somebody in able to say, "Well, I want to."
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And the thing of it is, when you look at their postseason tournaments, they do a terrific job.
Oh, they're run so well.
They do. They are the best. You know, and I still think that the state basketball tournaments are the class of the country. To be honest with you, they really are. So, whether that, you know, classification alters that, I don't think it will. I think the IHSA. Well, let's face it, in order to have these tournaments, they have to make money.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think a lot of it has to do with just perception and people's memories of what the tournament used to be. I mean, it used to be if you made the state tournament in the two-class system as a 1A school, you were a legit state-caliber team. But we've seen over the years, Terry, with the four-class system now, some of these teams that make it to state in 1A, they don't exactly excite the fans. You know, the quality of the 1A tournament, I think, has suffered probably more than any of the other classes. The 1A state basketball tournament is not what people expect a state basketball tournament to be, in my opinion.
Well, and the one thing that, you know, you have to always watch, and we've got about a minute and 15 seconds left here, guys. One thing that, always has to be taken into account is the crowds at these state tournaments. And I think the crowds have not been what they thought they were going to be for the smaller class schools. And maybe with the consolidations that are coming up down the road, maybe they need to go back to a two classes.
And with the crowd, to me, the crowds for 4A have really suffered because with 4A, it's basically all Chicago schools. And so the draw is just not there all the way down to Peoria. Maybe the 3 and 4A tournament should be up at the United Center or somewhere in Chicago.
I agree. I think that's a distinct possibility. You know, baseball did that this year. They held their smaller school competition in Peoria. The big schools played up in the northern part of the state. Wouldn't be a bad idea, perhaps, for the Illinois High School Association, and I'm sure they've bantered that around already at least a couple of times.
Yeah, we're not saying anything that they haven't already discussed in their meetings.
Yeah, that's one of the nice things. Plus, one other announcement that they did make very quickly here was we run down on time. Northern Illinois University is going to host this football playoffs in alternate years because Illinois's got a home football game in the even number years. So, odd number years, rather. So we'll talk more about that on WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. We're going to come back with overtime on Sports Saturday after NBC News.
And at 10:04, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
A little overtime today, boys.
Is it sudden death?
I think it is.
The
golden goal.
With this group, it's sudden death.
Every week, right?
Yeah.
Well, we kind of ran out of time there. We were talking about the Illinois High School Association. They did announce earlier this week that during the odd number years, the University of Northern Illinois University Husky Stadium in DeKalb will host the high school football playoffs, the championships on Thanksgiving weekend. That's because the Illini have games scheduled during those weekends, and then the Illini will host the even number year. So that was one of the changes that the IHSA made this past week, along with some of the other stuff we were talking about classifications and stuff like that. They're also trying to add some, they are going to add some cross country and other sports for disabled athletes. So.
Boy, U of I so bad wants to have a football program. They so bad want to be a football school, but I don't think it's ever going to happen. It's no disrespect to the coach of the hire, Tim Beckham. He's probably a very good coach, but some schools just can't do it.
Tim, they're a basketball school.
They are.
Yeah. And I don't know, you know, I think basketball is people's going to have to be patient there for a year or two till they get.
I like this coach they hired, though, John Gross. I like the style that he is going to play. They're going to, in my opinion, the last few years under Bruce Weber, they got too bogged down. They were too content to get in the half-court game and just run the shot clock down with their motion offense. I want them up and down the floor. That's the way the game of basketball is played now, especially when you got supreme athletes. Let's go. Get out and run.
You don't recruit these guys to stand around.
No. And I'm interested to see what Weber does where he went.
Kansas State. That was a surprising hire, I thought.
I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see what he does.
It really will. But the Illini, again, hoping for just some sort of improvement in the football season, just to encourage the Illini fans. I know the fan base has suffered a little bit. The number of fans at the ball games have been down recently in recent years. They need a little bit of success.
Can already hear the Illini fan base now, though, guys, because let's be honest, Ron Zook could recruit.
Yeah.
Illinois got a lot of guys in the NFL right now, so I can already hear the fan base. Well, we're not putting enough guys in the NFL. Well, you had that guy, and you fired him.
Well, it'll be
that's a valid point.
And, they've spent a lot of money on their facility up there and stuff, and it would be nice to see the program. But I kind of agree with you, Tim. I don't know whether Illinois is ever going to be more than a middle-class team or not.
Let's be honest. They're not better than Ohio State. Never will be.
No.
Not better than Michigan. Never will be. Not better than Wisconsin. Never will be. Purdue. Iowa, Purdue, good luck to you. They're better football schools. They just are. Michigan State, up and coming. So, yeah, best case scenario, you finish in the middle of the pack of the Big Ten. Is that going to be good enough? I doubt it.
No. I tell you what, guys, I said it before and I'll say it again. I'm impressed with Wisconsin basketball, football, yep. and stuff. They don't necessarily get the star athletes, but they produce when they get there.
They coach them up.
This basketball coach at Wisconsin, yeah, he just impresses me no end. He gets a job done.
Plain and simple.
And well, he doesn't have no jocks on there. They're just ball players.
Well, and the thing about this situation, Ralph, you recruit the players that you can mold to fit into your system. And I think, Tim, you and I have both agreed that Weber, while he had great athletes, probably never really got the athletes that were attuned to his system.
He got too good of athletes for what he was trying to do.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
recruited players that are better on the open floor, and then once they got there, he tried to slow them down in the half court. That don't work.
No.
And we saw it doesn't work, and as a result, he got canned.
I think that was the biggest problem.
He recruited Big Ten players and tried to play SIU basketball.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah.
A lot of truth to that. Yeah. So, anyway, before we know it, Football Friday will be here. Less than 11 weeks away now for the high school kids.
How about that?
And then a week later, the Fighting Illini take off on the 2012 campaign. So.
That's right. And, guys, the All-Star break is quickly approaching for Major League Baseball, too, and the Cardinals just hovering right around that 500 mark. It's one step forward, two steps back for the Cardinals the last 7 weeks.
The thing about the Cardinals right now, they are so injured, and a lot of teams are, and that's why there's a lot of teams kind of in the middle of the pack in all the divisions, with the exception of the Eastern divisions.
I've heard so much. I'm getting tired of hearing about all the injuries the Cardinals have. Let's be honest. Lance Berkman's really the only serious injury. Chris Carpenter's been out the whole year. If he shows up, he shows up. But I keep hearing Albert Bosco on the TV broadcast talk about, well, Matt Carpenter's going to be back soon. Who cares? Who cares? This is a minor league guy who got hot. He's a nice pinch hitter, a nice role player. But let's be real about the situation. Matt Carpenter coming back is not fixing the Cardinals'
Skip
problem.
Skip Schumacher probably.
Skip Schumacher's a loss. John Jay's the biggest loss.
Yeah, I think
without John Jay, they have really suffered because he's your two-hole hitter and an elite defensive player. You get John Jay back, you got something. I don't want to hear any more about Matt Carpenter. I do not care one iota about Matt Carpenter.
Lance Berkman's a 100-ball-game player.
Yes.
Has been for years.
Has been for years.
So.
You get 100 games out of
the leadership of Lance Berkman. That's the big thing he brings, the clubhouse leadership, more so than on-field at this stage in his career.
Well, at this point, the Cardinals would have easily weathered the storm had the starting pitching not gone south.
Yeah. And, you know, the funny thing is, the starting pitching's been good the last week and a half, two weeks. Now the offense can't get going. And isn't it weird? They play Carlos Beltran in center field in two games. They're 0-for-2.
Yeah.
They scored two runs in the game. Got no hit the first time they played him in center. And then last night, you only eke out two against the lowly Royals.
Well, this week they got beat 6-1 by the White Sox and then turn around next night 1-1-0.
Go figure, right? I mean, the starting pitching, to me, has settled down a little bit. You know what you're going to get from Loesch, Wainwright, and Lynn.
Westbrook is a big question mark.
Big question mark. He was good the other night. They need more of that from Jake Westbrook. But right now, the offense has slowed down as Rafael Furcal has cooled off. But guys, he's played so much. And he's no spring chicken anymore. You wonder if just physically he's starting to wear down a little bit. He had the night off last night.
I think that's a big part of it. This Cardinal team is an old team now. In many respects, when you talk about the Lance Berkmans, you talk about, the Rafael Furcals, even the guys that aren't that old, David Freese, he needed some time off to regain his batting eye. It's such a long grind of a season that, days off are at a premium.
And he's never played more than 100 games in a year, so when he gets that 100-game mark, he might be physically done.
Yes.
Who knows?
Yes, that's a distinct possibility. Thank God for Yadier Molina.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Can't lose him.
My gosh. Yeah, Tim, I remember we were talking last year about the Pujols thing and what would happen if the car, and I think you and I, and Ralph, you probably were in on this too, buddy, agreeing that as long as the Cardinals were able to re-sign Yadier Molina the following year, things would probably not be desperate.
Right.
And boy, is that
always
the case.
So good.
Oh, he's the best catcher in baseball.
Yeah, and Yadier, give the guy credit, but being a catcher and the rugged trade that is behind the plate, he's only got so many years that he can do what he's doing now, and then he will be to where, hey, I got to have a day off.
And the nice thing about it is Mike Matheny, being a former catcher, he knows exactly when to give him that day off that he needs. But I got to be honest, I love Mike Matheny as a manager. I think he's doing a nice job, but he left me scratching my head the other day when he put Molina in the two hole.
Yeah.
You can't put the slowest guy in the league, maybe in all of professional sports, in the two hole. You can't do it.
Well,
the three hole I got no problem with because he is your best overall hitter, but you can't put the slowest guy in professional sports in the two hole. Can't do it.
Well, the thing about the number two hole, if you looked at everybody else, you had options.
Right. He barely scores in a home run.
Yeah. It's got to be an inside the outside the park home double, you know.
That's
for,
right.
For Yadier Molina.
But yet he'll steal a base. He's so savvy. Such a great. He's like Pujols was.
Yeah.
He's not fast, obviously, but. He can steal a base because he's got that high baseball IQ.
And very quickly on Albert Pujols, he's Albert.
He's picking it up, isn't he?
Yeah, he's Albert again.
The demise of Albert was greatly over-exaggerated.
Greatly.
We said it a few weeks ago. He's going to start to hit. It's going to happen.
Teams are going to start being paid back.
Oh, yeah. Someone's going to pay big time.
Well, they were only two out behind the Rangers, who I thought nobody would touch this year.
Yeah, the Rangers have had some injuries as of late, and they've kind of planed off. And, Anaheim of Orange County in California, they're coming.
Is that the United States?
Barely.
Yeah. Barely?
Barely.
And Pujols had to go. He went to another league, so he had to learn the pitchers. He had to learn the ballparks. He had a lot of things to learn. I don't think he lost his ability to hit the ball, but he had to learn different things.
And he's such a good person and a family guy. His family's been in St. Louis because the school year wasn't over. So once his family gets out to California, that's just going to relax him.
Absolutely.
Like, he was living in his agent's house, so you got all the prostitutes keeping you up all night from Dan Lozano and all this and all that. It's hard to sleep. It's hard to sleep.
You must have some additional information that I wasn't privy to, Jim.
Oh, he had the information.
Oh, okay.
Where'd you read that at?
What was the website? I don't remember. It came out like whenever the contract negotiations were going on. He was found out to be a bit of a
playboy.
Playboy, He has a good time. But hey, when you got millions and millions of dollars and you live in California, who's not, right?
Yeah.
Who's not? It's like when people blasted LeBron for going to Miami. He's 25 years old, a multimillionaire. I think I'll take South Beach over Cleveland, too. Just barely.
He's probably a billionaire.
Tim, you could be 75 and take South Beach over Cleveland.
Absolutely. That's what I like to call a non-decision.
Yeah.
To South Beach I go. Thank you.
And what do we call the people who are complaining about that decision? Like, huh?
Right. He's like, sure, maybe he didn't like the way he could have handled it better, obviously.
Yeah.
But the dude is the best basketball player on the face of the planet, and he's starting to show it now in the clutch situations.
Guys, we are out of time here. They're going to need this space here at Irish Days. We're broadcasting from the Chili Dome at Farmersville. Irish Days yet to come today. The Chili Cook-Off competition just about ready to get underway. We've got the volleyball tournament getting underway. The parade's this afternoon. Crowning of the Irish Days Queen later on tonight. We want to thank all of our friends here at Irish Days. They're always such great hosts, and they allow us to come in and just basically take over the place, the stage here for a little while in the morning. We appreciate all their effort. Please come by and enjoy Irish Days here in Farmersville.
And the judges better be on their toes now that Waylon's back in there.
The ringer.
Waylon and Heaton.
Yeah.
Heaty and Waylon, I tell you. Yeah. They're dandies. That's going to do it for Sports Saturday here on this 16th day of June. For Uncle Ralph, for Tim, I'm Terry Toad. Thanks for tuning in, and get out there and enjoy Irish Days. So long from Farmersville.